You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Hello, Matt. You there?
Yes.
How are you going today, Matt?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Great. So let's get into it. So the Greens policy announcement. So this week, the Green Party announced a new plan to boost social spending. They're putting $1.4 billion into policies that they will say will lift Kiwis out of poverty. The plan includes a 20% increase in benefit payments and lowering the tax rate of low-income earners. Do you think this approach will do what it promises?
Well, I think we've got to be very careful with part of their announcement that was around removing work obligations for people who are seeking work. I think most New Zealanders would say it's fair that people who are in between jobs are able to access support from the government that keeps them in a safe place while they're out there looking for further work. So I think the average New Zealander would probably struggle with the idea that we would remove all work obligations from people who are currently on a benefit seeking employment. In fact, what we need to do is make sure that people who are on a benefit actively get out there and look for a job, because we know there's plenty of work available.
Right, so is that your sole problem with the proposed plan, is that it removes restrictions from people seeking to work when they're on the benefit?
Well, there's a range of things there, but primarily that there would be a concern about that. I think when you look at why we do things like that, we know the best way out of poverty is to work. When you've got parts of the country, especially an area in Canterbury where I represent, at 2.7% unemployment, most business people and employers are saying to me, how can we find more staff? So it's quite rightly we join the dot there, and we understand how people who are currently on a government benefit can find their way into work, and ultimately what we're trying to do is get them into independence where they're not depending on the state, and they can go on and reach their potential and have fruitful lives, because more often than not we see that young people who are growing up in benefit dependent families can be penalised in the sense of the opportunities available to them. So first and foremost, I think that we should ensure people who can work get out there and work.
So are you suggesting that people who are on the benefit aren't looking for work?
Most people I know who are on the benefit are actively looking for work, and quite often I'll have people pop into my office, have a chat and say, you know, I'm looking for this type of work, have you heard of anyone offering a job in that area? So that's my experience.
Right.
Most of it, we should support them getting into work as quick as possible. So WINS do a great job, I mean, around developing your CV, interview training, just general recruitment. Some people go out of work after being a long time in one role, and they just get a bit rusty about how you re-enter the job market and secure a job.
So the Greens policy also announced a raising of the minimum wage from $15.75 to $17.75 and lowering income tax for low bracket earners from 10.5% to 9%. Do you not believe that that is an incentive for people to go to work, because that will sort of give people who are earning low amounts or in entry-level jobs just coming out of the benefit, it will sort of give them an incentive to earn more money and sort of help them out if they're entering a new job?
Well, I think generally that line of thinking is correct. I mean, how do you ensure you incentivise working rather than staying at home on a benefit? And I don't think anyone would agree that, you know, you would go out, actively work hard and find yourself worse off than sitting at home on a benefit. That would seem slightly crazy situation. What we do and have in New Zealand is a minimum wage that is one of the highest in the Western world, at about 50% of the average wage. There's always room for improvement, and I think when you look back over the last few years of the national government, we've actively increased it. In fact, it's gone up 50 cents in the last 6 months or so. So we are looking to increase it, but it's got to be pegged right, because what you don't want to do as a legislator is to legislate and then find out there's unintended consequences. So, for instance, in that example, you wouldn't want to increase the average wage up to the point that the Greens are talking about, to the point where employers say, actually, I can't afford to invest that extra dollar into another staff member, and we find that jobs are becoming reduced because employers couldn't afford to keep their staff. So it's about getting the right balance. I think we've got the right balance at the moment, and when conditions allow, then the minimum wage rises. But that doesn't stop employers employing above the minimum wage, and I think you'd find in a place like Canterbury where staff are sought after with construction, rebuild, agricultural manufacturing, then the average wage is significantly higher than other parts of the country.
Great. So moving on to Green Party co-leader Matiria Ture admitting to lying to the government to collect larger benefit payments because the support she was receiving as a single parent was not enough to cover the costs of feeding her child. So National has admitted disappointment about Ture doing this. What other thoughts do you have on this admission?
Yeah, I mean, it is disappointing because what you didn't include in your narrative also was that she was actually studying law. So I suppose part of the money she was accessing from the government was being used to upskill. And then she went on to reap the rewards of that, of probably gaining better work outcomes from being qualified. So I think and the average New Zealander, in fairness, would say, you know, it's pretty disappointing. There's calls for her to remedy that in a range of ways, and I think that's a personal decision for her.
So Matiria Ture was a single parent at the time that she was studying, and there's been a lot of outpour of support of people admitting they've been doing the same just to survive because they do not have enough money with the income they're getting from wind, to feed their children. And they said the difference between lying and not lying is the difference between getting your children lunch or not. So do you not think it is a reasonable thing to do, given that she was a struggling student trying to feed her child at whatever cost?
It's very hard to look at a historical situation with the lens of contemporary time. So I accept that. I didn't experience those conditions back then, so I can't speak of the proportionality of what a sole parent was getting then versus the opportunities that they might have now. But
it's something that people have said is happening now in today's time. So surely that means that there is a sort of systematic problem with the amount of money that parents are getting from WINS to support their children. It's clearly not enough if people are having to lie. It's clearly a systematic issue that needs to be addressed, don't you think?
I don't know how many parents are saying that they're lying today. What we do know is that we have the lowest number of sole parents on the benefit in the history of New Zealand. Most sole parents I know are actively out there working hard and bringing up their kids. How someone chooses to act morally is probably not for the role of the government to somewhat get involved. And I suppose if that person chooses a pathway, then in fact they open themselves up to the consequences, and only that individual can decide.
Right, but it's not about opening yourself up to consequences or anything like that. It's about being in a position where you don't have the work and you don't have enough money to feed your family, and you have no other options to feed your family than to do that, don't you think?
That's not my experience being a member of parliament.
But it's the experience of the people coming out and admitting these things.
Coming into my office saying that to me. In fact, the opposite, where most are coming in saying that they've been able to access jobs and provide for the family. So that experience you're talking to is not something that I've encountered through my constituency work.
Do you think that's something you should perhaps seek out and try to hear other stories than the ones that you hear in Parliament?
It's not in Parliament. So I have three offices in my electorate, and also do caravan clinics because I'm a semi-rural and urban electorate. So I'm accessible. I do a lot of constituent work at night and on weekends as well. So I get across the broad gambit of demographics and society in my electorate, and I'm not discounting that it's there, because no one can ever discount anything. What I'm telling you is that when I look back at my constituency work, that issue has not been raised with me.
Right, so you don't think there is a systematic problem with the benefit and the way that single parents do not have enough money to feed their families from the money they're receiving? You don't believe that's a problem from the stories you've heard and your arbitrary experiences with that?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the range of opportunities available now, whether it be free GP care for under 13s, free early childhood education up to 20 hours, there's a range of things available to people. And I would just encourage, if anyone finds themselves in a position where they feel like things are getting on top of them, that is a role an MP can play about working with them around their entitlements and helping to make things better in their lives.
Okay. Thank you so much, Matt Ducey, for coming on the show today. I hope you have a great afternoon.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.